He can share his feelings easily. It is his way, not necessarily mine. I felt like Ethan wanted to consume me at times. He overwhelmed me from the first and was definitely a demanding lover. But one thing was certain. I wanted everything he'd ever given me. I found that out once I left him. Ethan gave me some peace and security in a way I'd never really felt as an adult, and certainly never before in regards to my sexuality. It's just how he is, and I think I understand him now. He wasn't demanding and controlling because he wanted to dominate me. He was that way with me because he knew it was what I needed. Ethan was trying to give me something I needed in order to make us work. So, while those days without him were agonizing, the solitude was critical for me. Our passionate fire had burned white hot, and we'd both been burned by the heat that sparked and raged so easily when we were together. I know the healing time was necessary for me, but it didn't make the painful ache hurt any less. I kept coming back to the same idea I had when I'd first found out what he was doing. Ethan knows what happened to me, and there is no way he could possibly love me now.
Simon & Schuster Audio presents All In, The Blackstone Affair, Book 2, by Rain Miller. Read by Shane East with Grace Grant.
Chapter 1. My hand throbbed along with my heartbeat. All I could do was breathe at the now sealed doors of the lift that was taking her away from me. Think for one moment. Chasing after her was not an option, so I left the lobby and went into the break room. Elena was in getting coffee. She kept her head down and pretended I wasn't there. Smart woman. I hope those idiots on the floor do the same, or they just might need to find new jobs. I threw some ice into a plastic bag and shoved my hand inside. Fuck, it stung. There was blood on my knuckles and I'm certain on the wall next to the lift. I walked back out to my office with my hand in the ice. I told Francis to call maintenance to come and fix the bloody ding in the wall. Francis nodded without missing a beat and looked at the bag of ice at the end of my arm.
Do you need an x-ray for that?
She asked, her expression like that of a mum. What I envisioned a mother would look like, at least. I barely remember mine, so I'm probably merely projecting with her. No. I need my girl back, not some fucking x-ray. I went through to my office and shut myself in. I pulled out a bottle of Van Gogh from the bar fridge and cracked it. Opening my desk drawer, I fumbled for the pack of Jar and Blacks and the lighter I like to keep in there. I'd been ploughing through the smokes at a record pace since meeting Bryn. I'd have to remember to stock up. Now all I needed was a glass for the vodka. Or maybe not. The bottle would do me just fine. I took a swig with my busted hand and welcomed the pain. Fuck my hand. It's my heart that's broken. I stared at her picture. The one I took of her at work when she showed me the painting of Lady Percival with the book. I remembered how I'd used my mobile to take the photo, and was pleasantly surprised to see how nice it came out. So nice, in fact, I downloaded it and ordered a print for my office. Didn't matter, it was only the camera in a cellular phone. Bryn looked beautiful through any lens, especially the lenses of my eyes. Sometimes it almost hurt to look at her. I recalled that morning with her. I could just see her in my mind's eye. How happy she was when I snapped the photo of her smiling down at that old painting. I had parked in the lot for the Rothwell Gallery and shut off the engine. It was a dreary day, drizzling and chilly, but not inside my car. Having Bryn sitting next to me, dressed for work, looking beautiful, sexy, smiling at me had me soaring, but knowing what we'd just shared together that morning was the fucking bomb. And I wasn't talking about the fucking.